Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air January 26th and 27th, year of our Lord 2025, 2025 years after the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, last week, as we came before you, we talked about Martin Luther King Day. We talked about Inauguration Day. It was in the college football world, National Championship Day. I saw or I heard earlier that Monday, January 27th, is actually Holocaust Remembrance Day. I will confess to you that I did not double check that, but we remember the terrible acts of the Nazis on the Jews and other people this past week. If our program is on time, there was a shooting in which the young man who did the shooting was supposedly a follower of Adolf Hitler. Now, my friends, I don't really know exactly what to say about that other than just to tell you that that's the facts. It's an incredible time that we live in that someone would look at Adolf Hitler and idolize them. And I mean, it's just an incredibly tragic thing. But today, we will look once again to the Word of God, where we find hope, where we find compassion, and where we find salvation. And today, we are going to study, as far as I know, the only account of Jesus' childhood recorded in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 2, we have studied the birth of Christ. We have studied his presentation last week that was noted by Simeon, Anna, and others. Today, we begin in verse 41. Now his parents, that's Jesus, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. That's what they were supposed to do. All Jewish males were supposed to present themselves at the temple three times a year. Joseph and Mary were doing what they were supposed to do. A few weeks ago, we talked about the shepherds who were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were doing what they were supposed to do. Last week, Simeon and Anna, who came to behold the baby Jesus, were doing what they were supposed to do. Is it possible that God chose Joseph and Mary to bring forth the Savior into the world because he knew that they were people that would simply do what they were supposed to do? And let me, and Lord willing, I plan to come back to this before we close out this morning's broadcast. But guys, and I'm talking to myself, are there times in our life when things aren't going the way that we want them to, or maybe we can't get that thing that we think we need, or whatever the case is, or the job, or the house, whatever. But we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Would we trust a child or an employee that doesn't show up to work on time and doesn't come into work when they should and this type of thing? Would we reward disobedience? And sometimes we do. And sometimes God blesses us in spite of our disobedience. And I must include here that I know that there are times that we face trials that are not that result. But what if they are? Are there things in our life that we could clean up? Are there areas that we just simply need to do what we're supposed to do? And let me go one step further. We don't always feel like it. There was a man named Cal Ripken Jr. who started more baseball games than anybody ever had, and they interviewed Mr. Ripken when he set the record, or a few days later or years later, and he said, you know, he said, I just came to work and showed up every day. Sometimes that is part of the battle. One of my, and I don't know that you should always quote this show, but one of my shows that I've watched over the years, haven't much lately, is a show called Gunsmoke. One night there was a guitar player on there, and not to quote him exactly, but words to this effect, they were picking at him, saying, "We want you to play us a song," and he didn't feel like it. And he basically said, and I may have some of the names wrong, but he said, "You know, a barber doesn't always feel like cutting hair. A cowboy doesn't always feel like taking care of cows. But he's got to do it." And he said, "I guess sometimes a guitar player's got to play whether he feels like it or not. Sometimes we got to do it whether we feel like it or not." So Joseph and Mary are doing what they're supposed to do. Now, you may question their wisdom, the next few verses. It says, "And when he," that's Jesus, "was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom to the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance." Now, we have, over the years, determined a day's journey to be 20 miles, and I know that that is debatable now. They went as far as they could in a day, and they figured out he wasn't with them. In verse 45, "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." Now, guys, I don't mean to be too lighthearted here, and I don't mean to be too comical about this, but now, we're on foot. We've gone as far as we can go in a day. I'm pretty sure it's going to take us the better part of another day to get back. I'm sure they're in a little bit bigger hurry now. In my life, I have lost some things. There have been some moments that I have made mistakes, and you know, my heart just kind of dropped for a second. There's been a time or two, and thankfully, as of the recording of this broadcast, nothing has been too bad, but you know, sometimes you'll make a mistake and you just kind of draw up, you know, thinking, "Oh, what's this going to lead to?" Can you imagine you have been entrusted with the Son of God and you've lost him? Now, can you imagine the thoughts that are going through their mind? Do you remember what the angel said? Do you remember what Simeon, Anna, you know? All this has got to be going through their mind. They're thinking, you know, we're in trouble. This is not good. Verse 46. "And it came to pass that after 3 days," I bet they didn't sleep much in those 3 days. And I would suspect that Mary and probably Joseph are both thinking, "We'll never let this child out of our sight again if we find him." "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Well, he was the living Word of God. "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? I still didn't read it right. "Why hast thou thus dealt with us? And behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." They were in a pretty tough spot. And, you know, to kind of come down off of my comical mountain to a dead serious point, you know, this is something to think about. You know, those of you who maybe have had a child that have not making good decisions, and I think probably most people can say that at some point in time, you know, why did this happen? There's hundreds of reasons. Ultimately, it's the child's choice, by the way. You can't get saved for anybody else, no matter how bad you want to. It may be to bring us to our knees. It may be to get us to seek God. I firmly believe that God gives the biggest battles to the best soldiers. Sometimes it's to show our faith to other people that we will continue to stay true to God no matter what our circumstances. I wish I had a better way to say that so it would just stick. Fact of business is, Jesus doesn't tell him why. I don't know that God told Job why. But we know that, like Habakkuk, at the end of the book, he says, basically, no matter what goes wrong, I'm going to serve you. That's really the faith I want to have. I'm not sure I always do, but that's where I want to be. In verse 40, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, how did he do that? He did what he was supposed to do. He was subject to his mother and father. He followed the Lord. He did what he was supposed to do. They did what they were supposed to do. You say, Neil, this is what you said in the beginning. That's right. And this is really where I want to end. Sometimes, guys, it's just as simple as no matter what the circumstances, we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. There are times in our life when we don't know what to do. And when we don't know what to do, then we do what we know. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Go back to a little something that I heard Adrian Rogers say this last week. I included this in our Wednesday night service at New Hope. Mr. Rogers said it's a bad thing for a man to be lost and know it. And I'm not talking about necessarily spiritually when I say this, but it's a worse thing for a man to be lost and not know it. I mean, if you think you're going in the right direction and you're not, you're just getting worse. You know, when you're in a situation and you realize that you don't know what you're doing or you don't know where you're going, then it's time to stop and look around and say, okay, what do I need to do? But if you don't realize it, you just keep getting further and further from where you need to be. Now, spiritually speaking, I'm afraid there's some people out there that are denying the fact that they're lost. And they just keep going the wrong direction. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Maybe you're listening today and you say, you know, Neil, I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost spiritually. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. You know, sometimes people are overwhelmed with emotion when that happens. And sometimes they're not. We don't know how that's going to affect a person intellectually or emotionally when they do that. We can't base our salvation on how we feel. We base our salvation on what Jesus Christ taught us, on what the Apostle Paul taught us in the book of Romans. We base it on the Word of God. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.